Okay. Go ahead, ma'am. All right, we're
Go ahead, Rick. I think you start this thing by roll call.
Thank you. All right, we are beginning the meeting of CODI, the Commission on Disability Issues, Wednesday, February the 15th, 2023, at 3:33 p.m. And the first item is going to be roll call. So I'll start with Cindy Engel.
Present.
Mia Hansen.
Here.
Sue Krager. Sue?
Here.
Thank you. Adiba Nelson. Billy Holbrook.
Here.
Ann Furman. Zach Coble.
Here.
Ray Jordan.
Here.
Lily Bogan.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. This is Mia Hansen. I'm the current chair of the Commission on Disability Issues called CODI. And we just had our roll call. I just wanted to welcome one of our newest commissioners. Ray Jordan has been sworn in and is officially on the commission. Thank you, Ray. Welcome. We heard from you, introduction from you last time, but if you'd just like to say another word of welcome and tell us again who you are and why you exist. Just kidding. give us a three-line summary of your work here.
Well, I could tell you why I exist, but this is not an X-rated show, I wouldn't think. Thank you very much for the welcome. My name is Ray Jordan. I, as you can probably tell by the accent, I ain't from around here. I'm from Melbourne, Australia originally. Been living in Tucson part-time for just over 10 years, full-time since the pandemic began. So what's that, 2.5 or something like that? I have been serving on various committees in Melbourne, Australia, to do with disability access and advocacy, written lots of papers and reports and whatnot in response to government plans and so forth. On behalf of myself and of some of those other committees. I still currently chair something called the All Aboard Network, which is a very loose network of people, both people with disabilities and organisations, and even state and local government representatives, all concerned with the accessibility of public transport. In fact, I've got after this meeting today, I have one related to that on Zoom. So here I am in Tucson. I don't drive a car. I use public transit, SunTran, and occasionally SunVan quite a bit. So I've got a bit of a personal insight as to what's good and maybe not so good in that field there. I use the what we call in Australia footpaths, but here they're called sidewalks. And so I've got some ideas about how well they do and don't work around here as well, particularly in the area where I live. Probably talked enough and bored you enough, so I'm going to put my mic on mute and but once again say thank you for your welcome.
Thank you, Ray. Good to have you with us. I also just wanted to wish well our member Ann Furman, who's unfortunately not able to be with us. She's still dealing with medical issues and remains hospitalized, so she has an excuse, and we wish her well. Wanted to move on to the next agenda item, but we're going to have to continue this item, the approval of minutes. We did not receive the minutes to approve, so we're going to continue that on to the March meeting. And Rick, if you could just put a reminder there to get us the minutes of the January and of today's meeting for approval for March.
Yes, ma'am.
That would be great. Okay. And then we'll move on to item number 3. This is the call to audience moment. If there is anyone on the meeting who would like to address the Cody Commission. This is your opportunity to address us. We cannot answer you, but you're welcome to introduce yourself at this time. Is there anyone would like to address from the audience? Any audience members at all? It looks like we don't have anyone who is not here for some other reason. So we will move on. Agenda item number four. We have two guests with us today from Housing and Community Development. We have Ana Lopez and Donald Paredes. If you're both here, we'd like to welcome you. We've asked you to give us an affordable housing waitlist update and anything else you'd like to share with us.
Hi, this is Don Paredes. I'm the housing administrator for the Housing Community Development Department. We opened our waiting list January 3rd, 2023, and unfortunately I am not the expert in that. I mean, I have a good summary, but Anna is really the expert. She's overseeing the opening and the processing of all applications, so that's why I asked her to join us. I'm currently at home because we had a water leak here at home, so I may or may not be back on to say anything else. Thank you.
Donald, could you just repeat your title one more time? How do we?
Sure. I'm the housing administrator for the HCD program.
And we're sorry you got a water leak. So if we do have any burning questions, what are you the expert on?
Well, all things voucher. But the thing is that normally I would know all about the waiting list, but Anna's been spearheading that, so I leave her to be the expertise on this. Although I have administered the waiting list in the past, so I know how it works, and I understand all things regarding public housing and Housing Choice Voucher Program.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Ana.
Hello, yes, thank you. My name is Ana Lopez, and I am the project coordinator overseeing the eligibility department for the PHA in the City of Tucson, and Public Housing Authority is what PHA stands for. I am overseeing the wait list, and we are able, we just finished opening it, and it's going to be continually open, and so anybody can actually apply at any time. It's not going to be closed until further notice. If we do decide to close it, we will be actually doing a public notice. But as of right now, we don't see that happening. We opened it on January 3rd, and we did close it on January 23rd. And at that point, we did a lottery, but because of the amount of people that were on it, we went ahead and selected everybody who applied during the 3-week process, which was a total of 15,363 people. So we did get quite a bit of people needing assistance, and so we're very excited about that. And we're hoping to help as many people as possible and as fast as possible that we can. So I know that you guys had sent a couple of questions. Do you just want me to go down those questions, or do you want me to answer your specific questions?
You could address the few questions we brought to you, and feel free to give us any more information that we should know.
Okay, I'll do my best. All right. So I already answered the question, how many people have been added to the wait list. That, again, was the 15,363. And the next question after that was how many people with disabilities applied. We got a total of 4,248 people with disabilities that checked it. So with the disabilities, we don't ask for proof. It's just informed, so they just have to click a button saying that they're disabled. The next question after that was how many ADA accessible housing units are currently available. The City of Tucson public housing side, so there's a couple of things on that. So the City of Tucson has actual public housing, which we did open the waiting list for some public housing properties, as well as we have the Tucson voucher program and the Pima County voucher program. So the Pima County and the Tucson Voucher Program are programs where we will give an individual a voucher, and then they can go out and look for properties on their own. So they would go out to different apartment complexes, try to contact different property managers, and just kind of get their property on their own. On the public housing side, these are city-owned properties that that have waiting lists of their own. So as the vacancies come up in those public housings, that is when we can pull from that wait list and then start filling those vacancies in the public housing. We have, I think, a little over 15,000 public housing units, and out of those, it's 154 total that we have, and only two are available right now. I did, however, learn recently from Donald that any new buildings that are constructed, at least 5% have to be ADA certified. Am I correct, Donald? Do you want to interject?
Yes, just point of correction, that is correct. 5% of the federal government says any new affordable housing have to be 5% ADA compliant. But a point of clarification, you said 15,000 public housing units, it's 1,500. Oh. 1,500.
Very sorry. I was used to the 15,000 people that just applied. Yes, that's a big difference. So yes, definitely 1,500 units. All right, so the next question was, how many people who identified as persons with disabilities on the waitlist application been factored into the lottery? Well, because we pulled everyone from the application process, all 4,248 applicants that indicated that they were disabled were actually pulled and put on the wait list. So hopefully we can get them housed here pretty quickly. Those were the four questions that you guys had actually asked. Do you guys have any other specific questions or questions on how the process works, anything like that?
Yeah. Commissioner Holbrook.
Yes. So did I hear you say there were two that are available now?
Yes.
I heard you say two.
Yes, so that's on the public housing side. So out of the 154 ADA certified units that we have, there are only two available that are vacant right now that we can actually house somebody in.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Hansen. Thank you for that, Anna. That's kind of amazing that 15,000 people got added onto the list. Last time I recall, 6 or 7 years ago, I remember talking to public housing staff, and it was sort of not a proud moment to say that there were 15. It seemed like at that time there were still 15,000 people on the list, and we weren't getting through them at all. So at one point you cleared off the list, and it, and then you decided to open the list again on January 3rd to get new people onto the waiting list, who you've agreed to have 15,363 people all got to be on this waiting list. And there are, as far as how ADA compliant, are there, how do you know how many public housing units in general are available? Did you say that?
So you were kind of cutting in and out. I didn't get the full question. I'm sorry.
Do you have a figure for us of how many public housing units are currently available besides ADA, just in general?
I think it's somewhere around 50. There's about 50 of them that are available.
Thank you. 50 units, which could be apartments or single or families or three-bedroom homes of all of your inventory, right?
That's correct, yes. So some are one-bedroom, some are studios, some are going to be single-family homes. So, yes, it's a myriad of different properties. We also, the HCD office also runs an affordable housing property called El Portal, That particular property has 400 in its inventory. Now, those don't have government subsidy, but they are considered affordable housing in that the rents that we charge are, let's just say, for a one-bedroom, it's going to be a market rate right now is somewhere around $1,000 to $1,100 for a one-bedroom. We're charging for a one-bedroom $565. So it's substantially lower than what they would find out in the market.
And Don, do you have any idea how many available units are at El Portal right now?
Yeah, El Portal right now we have about 25 of those. There's only two or three that are available. The other ones still need to have some work turned over. It's called turned over when one person moves out and another person, we get it ready for another person. So we're in the process of getting those ones turned over.
And this is me, I'm just going to continue. So trying to wrap my head around the numbers. So Donald, your expertise is the voucher program.
And yes, ma'am. So
is there any way to, I know this comes and goes, that the landlords can decide whether they want to accept the voucher. Do you have any kind of figure on how many? How many apartments or how many, can you hear me?
No, we're going in and out. You said how many, and I couldn't get what the question was.
How many available voucher units are there?
Okay, so I think you're asking two separate questions, so let me let you know why they're two separate questions, okay? All right, the Tucson Housing Authority has a total voucher allocation of about 6,000, just over 6,000 vouchers. Pima County has 900 and something. So together, our voucher program is about 7,000 for all of Pima County. Now, those can be used at any place that's in the private market that the landlord is willing to accept the program. So how many units out there that are available, we have no idea. How many landlords are willing to work with the problem? I mean, with the program, we have no idea. But of those that are willing to work with them, we have right now about 6,000 or 5,000 of those vouchers. So more around 5,500. So we have about 1,500 that we're going to try to lease up in the next few months here.
Okay, thank you. I'll breathe for a minute. If any other questions?
Sure, no problem.
Anybody else have some questions for, yes, Sydney?
Hi, thank you, Sydney Engel. My question is, I thought there was a law recently passed that made it so that all landlords have to accept the voucher program.
Yes, what we're talking about is it's a local Tucson ordinance that's called the source of income. A landlord cannot discriminate from any one particular individual or family depending on their source of income. So long as they can pay the rent, they have to accept them if all other conditions are acceptable. So the only qualifier is that they have to be able to pay the rent. So if a landlord is out there and they require three times the rent, but they have a voucher, then that would qualify them for that unit if all other things are equal. All that to say is, yes, we do have that. That was recently passed back in, I believe it was September, by our city council. It was quickly challenged in November by a state legislator in the Tucson area. I'm sorry, in the Phoenix area. And it went to the state attorney, and the state attorney ruled in favor of the plaintiff, so therefore it was ruled unconstitutional. Now that we've had an election and a new state attorney has taken office, we revisited this subject with the new attorney. They have a different opinion, so they agreed to hear our case. So we've got to present that in the next 30 days. So it is yet to be determined whether or not that will continue. But I do know this, that Phoenix, Glendale, and several other communities throughout the state are very interested in what's happening with that source of income law, because they want to enact one just like it.
Sydney, do you have a follow-up?
No, that was great. Thank you.
You're
welcome. Zach Coble.
Yes. I was just curious if there was any data on, like, how many people who joined the wait list recently when it opened up are either currently or formerly houseless.
I don't know if any are on the waiting list, because that was not a question that we asked on the waiting list, or rather in order a pre-application question in order to get on the list. However, what I do know is Anna is also, she works with all eligibility programs, and we exhausted our waiting list quite some time ago, but what's been keeping us afloat, which means that we've been being able to issue vouchers to what we call HPP participant, which is the Homeless Preference Program. So all of those individuals are previously homeless and are now being served by the agency. So she can give you numbers and information on that if you'd like.
Yeah, that would be great. I was just curious.
Well, I can give you the numbers that we did for January, and it looked like for the homeless programs, we did voucher about 97 people for the month of January. So, and we continue to do that, and we do continue to have several referrals come in from the different agencies around town that have the outreach programs to where they're actually on the streets looking for homeless people who need help, whether it's families. And as of today, for the month of February, we have received 102 referrals for the homeless programs. So yeah, we are working really hard and alongside these outreach programs that are here in Tucson to get these people housed and into safe, you know, locations and not in the street.
Just as a follow-up to that, to Anna, what Anna stated is that the city of Tucson set aside 900 vouchers in order to help the homeless, committed to the Homeless Preference Program, the HPP as we call it, and all of those were exhausted, and I believe it was October, we added another 150, we've exhausted that. And so now we're looking beyond that. We're not putting a cap on it like we were before. We're just saying we'll continue to house those families if they need it. But the thing is remember, HUD only gives us a certain number of funding, so we only have 7,000 that we can house. But we do have quite a few that we have got to get leased up, and so we're continuing to accept referrals from the Homeless Preference Program, as well as we're going to start drawing off our waiting list that just closed at 15,300. And 63.
This is Commissioner Hansen. I'm sorry, I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes.
Just to follow up on that, Donald, what you just said, that originally you said that you might have 1,500 vouchers left available, I thought.
That's correct.
7,000. So
yes.
The HPP program, the Homeless Preferred Program, Are they mixed in there with everybody else, or do they have some kind of special fast track that if you're considered to be homeless, you can sign up for and you can jump over the 1,500 people vouchers? Is there some preference list?
Yes, there is. So those come directly to us for consideration for a voucher. They don't have to come off the waiting list. So they don't even get on the waiting list. So yes, there is a fast track for those ones.
Could you tell us how people who might be listening to this, if by some lucky chance somebody was a homeless person that might be listening to this recording?
Sure.
How would they go about that? I mean, you said agencies. I know there's agencies. Is that the only thing you have?
Yeah, I'm going to let Anna speak to that question because she works closely with those agencies. I don't know all of them where she does, and so therefore she can actually name the agency where they can go to if they're interested in that voucher program. Yes.
Hi again. So the best ways to get the intake that I have found with the different agencies that we work with, now we work with several of them, but as far as the intake goes, like if they want to go somewhere, The best place would be OPCS, which is O Pueblo Services. O Pueblo Community Services is what the OPCS stands for. And they, what happens is they're going to take, do an interview on the client. And then they're going to enter them into a system that all of the agencies use. And then they go from there and they go and they do their interviews and they have the outreaches go to them. So the best ones that, like I said, I've seen where they've gotten able to go in is OPCS and then also Community Bridges, which is also an acronym of CBI. There is one that we use here for the city of Tucson, and I can provide an email to the person who actually will assign their navigators to go out. So I know, like, some of the people coming off of the wait list, we've had emails and things like that where they've said, hey, I'm about to be homeless, I'm losing my place, or I just recently was homeless. I've been able to email to a person named Kim Noble, and she gets them into that program that all of those agencies use to pull off of and to go find people and interview. So that's kind of the program, the process, but the best ones that I know that are kind of like open door intakes are going to be OPCS and CBI.
O Pueblo Community Services and Community Bridges.
Oh, I can't hear you. Sorry.
Sorry. Don't know what's going on with my internet, but...
Yes, that's correct. Community Bridges Incorporated and O Pueblo Community Services. Both of those are the best avenues in order to get an application.
Thank you. Lily Bogan.
I don't think...
Hi.
Am I the only one that can
hear you?
Hear
me?
Yeah.
Okay. My question is, in reference to the vouchers, you did mention something about leasing out. What is the time period of the lease?
All leases have to be 1 year in length. That's required by the federal government in order to participate in this program. However, what I was referring to is this year, Liz Morales, because our occupancy rate, they call it a lease-up rate, our lease-up rate is very low because of the fact that our waiting list was exhausted. And so because of that, we have those 1,500 vouchers available, so she has committed to... Our HUD field office in Phoenix is asking us to issue 2,500 vouchers, about 2,300 vouchers, so that we can try to lease those 1,500 vouchers. So we're going to be pulling people off the waiting list in batches of 700 every 2 months and seeing those families and see how many are qualified and try to voucher those. So until we hit our mark. So that'll continue through 2023.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? Any other questions? I'd like to thank you very much, Anna and Donald. Very informative, lots to keep track of. And I'm not quite sure how you do it, but it's informative. It's a shame we don't have more units available. It's my
Absolutely. It would be nice to if we had more vouchers available, and so this is what we are doing. I don't know if you've heard about it, but there's another program that HUD runs called the Choice Neighborhoods Grant. It's basically stating that there's an impoverished area or section of the city that needs an overhaul, and so we applied for that for the Tucson House and the surrounding area, if you know that area. It is somewhat impoverished. If we were able to get that, because it's a large amount of money, we'd have to find partners, but we got those partners already. But we're going to add an additional, I think we're going to add somewhere in the neighborhood of another 400 or so available units for low-income families if we get that grant. We just applied for it in January. We won't know until July if we got it or not.
Okay. And I assume those would be new units? You'd be adding new units?
Yes, those are all going to be brand new units, yes.
Okay. And so only 5% of those are required to be accessible. Would you possibly make more of them?
Yes, that is possible that more of them, because some of them are going to be family units available to families, but most of them are going to be earmarked for elderly or / disabled. So yes, the most likely, I'm not on the planning committee for that, but I would imagine that they're going to have more than 5% that are ADA compliant.
Okay, once again, thank you very much. We appreciate that update. Let's move on to agenda item number 5. This is transportation. I noted that there was an Accelerated Mobility Playbook Award, and we found Kristen McRae. I believe is with Ward 1 office. Great. Welcome. We'd like you to tell us what this is about.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. My name is Kristen. I'm with the Ward 1 Council office, and I'm the Community Infrastructure Manager. So I'm kind of tracking our capital projects throughout the west side and the south side. The City Thread Accelerated Mobility Grant it was applied for back in October of 2022, with the Department of Transportation applied with Ward 1 and Ward 5. So it was written to sort of focus on the south and west sides and bringing in more voices. When Move Tucson, if you all are familiar with the Move Tucson plan that was written in, I think it was passed in 2020, it had a significant drop off in participation in Ward 1 and Ward 5 areas. So we're also hoping to sort of bring more voices in during this grant period for that, to sort of boost up that side of town. What the grant is not actually a chunk of money, but it is the playbook itself. So they valued it at the $50,000. But what it is the City Thread organization spends about 6 months working with the City of Tucson and drafting together this playbook that is a list of sort of recommendations for how the City of Tucson can increase the speed at which we are producing our walkability and accessible and bike paths and these different connections that kind of create more mobility in our city with a little bit of a focus on the south and west side. So what that means is that City Thread is working with the Department of Transportation, the Ward 1 and Ward 5 staff, to sort of conduct a series of interviews with different stakeholders in the community, and then they're going to put together sort of a playbook of like, these are your strengths, this is where you're kind of missing some things, this is what's going well, this is kind of how we can maybe speed up what takes a project from start to finish, and kind of like increasing the speed at which this city is able to move through our plans. So the Move Tucson plan, things that are in Plan Tucson. Tucson's in a really great position right now because of the recent passing of the 411, Prop 411, and the 407 connections. So we have a lot of these connections on the books that are planned, but how do we kind of speed them up or even amplify them, look for the holes that are in between those connections, and kind of bring those together. So the Kyle, who is our main representative from City Thread, has worked with the City of Tucson in the past on a Big Jump initiative, which was focused in Ward 5 and Ward 1 on the south side, the sort of south end of town specifically, and brought a bunch of community members together, different advocates, and was able to kind of increase sort of some of the understanding of what the community was needing. And then he is now working with the City Thread Project. He will be working on our report. So that means that he'll be holding interviews with department staff for DTM, kind of asking them about like what's their design process, you know, looking for ways that you can streamline things or create better community outreach systems, you know, sort of looking for ways that we can really sort of build some efficiency into our systems. So that'll be one piece of it. Another piece will be meeting with different community partners. And I know that was one of the questions that y'all had, is sort of like, who's involved? Who are the community partners? So there are some different community members that will also sort of do some interviews with Kyle to sort of build that bigger picture of kind of who's who are the players at the table. And that includes teachers, community leaders, like sort of neighborhood association leaders, transit activists, small business activists. And that kind of brings around to, I think it would be really excellent if someone from this group would be interested in holding or conducting a longer interview with Kyle about the needs, especially on the south side and the west side. I know you all have some representatives that were appointed by Ward 1 and Ward 5. If maybe one or two people would be willing to kind of do some of those interviews and kind of get involved in that way. Then in about, I think in April or May, when CityThread finishes the playbook, they'll do a presentation. So then we'll have sort of a more formalized presentation to get those recommendations. And then down the road, the next step is to sort of then take those recommendations and then try to leverage them into some other grants and additional money. It's right to really, because we all know that we really need the money to flow the projects along. And that is the quick version. So I imagine y'all might have some questions.
Yes. Well, thank you, Kristen, for, did you used to be at BICUS? Were you a BICUS?
Yes. I was with BICUS for 14 years.
Great.
Well, I just recently joined the city.
Great. So you're a biker, bicyclist. Let's see, Ray Jordan has his hand up, the newly appointed Ward 5 commissioner, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. Nice presentation. Thank you, Kristen. I'm interested in providing some feedback by way of interview. I have, and just very briefly, my feedback would be something like sidewalks and possibly bike paths, which can be shared by people using power wheelchairs and scooters, for example. There's a lot of disconnected pathways. I've got some thoughts on that. It leaves you stranded, you know, going a power wheelchair, going a mile or a mile and a half isn't a big deal, as long as there's actually a pathway to get you there. I could get on a pathway at one end, it breaks down in the middle, and then there's a pathway at the other. Not much good if it doesn't join in the middle. So that's my thoughts, and I'm happy to provide some more detailed feedback at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Ray. Could you send us this, Kyle's, it's Kyle's the guy, right? I heard Kyle.
It is. I think that I would like to give him all your contact info, perhaps, and he can reach out. Specifically, then he would reach out and set up conversations one-on-one or in a small group.
Great. I'll be happy to facilitate that. I think we can't all be sent out an email together because that would be breaking a rule, but we'd be happy to send me something and I'll forward it on. Well, I have a question. This is Mia Hansen. You're working with Ward 1, so we get it. You don't work for the transportation department, but it sounds like you're... you're into transportation, so you know everybody in transportation, right?
Well, I don't know everybody. I've only been with the city since November. But with this particular grant, one of the things that I know more about the Ward 1 projects, obviously, and mostly mobility connections, right? So the road projects that are complete streets or bicycle, pedestrian, accessibility, mobility focused.
Great, we're happy to hear that. I sat on the Complete Streets Council for a long time and have been through a lot of meetings, and we've seen the Move Tucson plan, and this commission had a talk with I'm trying to find Billy's notes, transportation director back last year, who alluded, you know, who talked about the Move Tucson plan. We've heard a lot about the Move Tucson plan and have been told that in the Move Tucson plan we would find a report that was commissioned back in 2016, which we've talked about before, which was paid for by the city of Tucson, which showed an inventory was made of all of the non-ADA compliant issues, physical issues in Tucson, that included, like Ray just said, a bunch of sidewalk curb cuts, and then suddenly one block that doesn't have a curb cut and no safe lane to get in and around, or bus stops which are inaccessible, or pedestrian lights that cannot be reached, or great new curb cuts which are great for people who are blind or visually impaired, perhaps because they have these big bumps on them, but not so helpful for small front casters on wheelchairs. Lots of different types of things. That inventory, we were told, would be made public at some point, and we haven't seen it. We've been asking someone to send us that inventory, and we were kind of told that it was somehow on page 365 or something of the Move Tucson plan, which it wasn't. So, Kristen, I'm sure you're taking notes, and I'm not asking you to pretending that you would know about this, but it would be great if we could find and have her open public comment that big list. I think it was something like over $1 billion that I recall would be needed to come into compliance, ADA compliance, if we fixed everything. And obviously we don't have $1 billion just for that. But it would be really great if you could follow up somehow, if that's something you could do, and find out, you know, where that commissioned list is, because there was a bunch of money that got paid to a consulting firm that we don't know where the list is. And I'm sure Kyle, who's with City Thread, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so they're giving you an in-kind donation of $50,000 or $60,000 worth of their time. City's not getting any money, but you're going to get a great report that's going to help us speed up the process and trim up all of the holes. Here's one big hole that we, Cody, have been asking about for a long time, that we'd love to help, plug some holes and maybe have input in. And I think it'd be great to see some of that raw data. We could help. So that was a long comment. And maybe that's something Kyle would like to hear about. And I think we could go back to the person from transportation, whose name is escaping me, who met with us almost a year ago now, and ask for that again. We are going to be inviting transportation folks to our next meeting, by the way, so I'll dovetail into that. I've asked Ray, who is a transportation aficionado, to help us to invite members of Sunvan, SunTran, SunLink, and SunExpress. There's currently a report being collected, an analysis, right?
This is an excellent time for you all to meet with them as well. I think it's a cool time in Tucson that the COA, the comprehensive analysis with the SunTran, is happening. Great time for us to put that feedback in. Plan Tucson is accepting a bunch of feedback and information. If anyone hasn't seen the survey, it's available online, where you can really add a lot of the stuff that's really important to this group, be included in that. And then also the climate change initiative is coming up. I am going to have to run really soon. I'm very sorry.
Any other questions?
Last questions?
Any burning questions? Kristen, we appreciate it. You have my information, and we'd love to follow up with you, so we will offline. Thank you for that. So you may leave us. I will just repeat what Kristen was just alluding to, and that is that there's currently a comprehensive operational analysis going on with SunTran. Thank you, Kristen. If you go to SunTran's website, suntran.com, comes right up. It's the comprehensive operational analysis, and the city, SunTran, is collecting input and feedback. But I saw that the date, the closing date, is coming right up. It's either the 17th or the 19th of February for public input. So recommend everybody go there and give input into the plan. The pretty easy form to fill out, and you don't have to be a public transit user, but it is interesting that many non-public transit users often give a lot of input, as if we know what we're talking about as a non-regular public transit user. So that was great. Any comments? Kristen had to leave, but any other comments from this topic? No. So we're going to ask speaking of transportation, since we're still on this agenda item, we'll be asking someone from this group, Sunvan SunTran, whom we've heard from many times in the past, over past years, to come in and give us an update on what their findings are with the operational analysis. Hopefully in March we will get to that. And we hope that this Accelerated Mobility Playbook grant really speeds something up. We hope it speeds things up. Okay, let's move on then into agenda item number 6, which is upcoming events, kind of a chance for us to talk about any upcoming events that any commission members would like to announce or share about. I'm going to slide something in here. An upcoming event for us will also be next month. We will add to the agenda a review of the annual report, which Commissioner Coble has graciously put together a draft. So Zach will give you a chance to refresh that draft a little bit, and then we'll just take a look at it and get on the agenda an item to approve that for next month. Is that okay, Zach?
Sounds good.
Okay. If you wanted to read that draft right now, as if it's an upcoming event, I suppose you could, but I don't know if we really need to do that, or if we can send it out in advance for everybody to look at instead, if that's okay. We'll share it. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine. Feel free to share through Rick.
Okay. So, other upcoming events, any announcements commissioners would like to share? Going once? Uh-huh. Well, I'll share this. Commissioner Hansen, Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports, will be hosting a wheelchair tennis tournament. The Arizona Open Wheelchair Tennis Tournament is coming to town. We are hosting it at the Refkin Tennis Center on March 3rd, 4th, and 5th with about 30 or 40 wheelchair tennis players coming from outside Arizona, and also people from within Arizona and locals will be playing. It's open to the public and free. And you can find information on soazadaptivesports.org. In fact, I think Commissioner Krager would be playing in it, so if you wanted to come see her play wheelchair tennis, that would be wonderful. And just want to thank everybody then, for if there's no other announcements. Anybody else? Oh, Ray Jordan, go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Mia. I just wanted to ask you about the venue for that tennis. Do you want to...
Say it again, the date?
I just wanted to ask you about the venue.
Yeah, Refkin Tennis Center is on Broadway and Alvernon.
Oh, I know what that is. Cool.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. 50 South Alvernon Way, to be exact. Okay, then hearing no other announcements, do I have a motion to adjourn?
This is Commissioner Coble. I move to adjourn.
I second it, Holbrook.
Okay, motion and seconded, so it's 4:22. We thank everybody who attended today and those who are listening in. We appreciate you being here as well. We'll see you in March. Thank you.